It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fulton, a modern brand of arch support. Fulton launched the most comfortable, supportive, and sustainable insole on the planet. Fulton insoles have a deep heel cut and comfortable arch support that aligns your body from head to toe. They are made with using sustainable materials like vegan cactus leather and cork, allowing them to mold to the shape of your arch and provide customized support. They are also shock-absorbing, reducing impact on the body, and are lined with natural foam to make them extra comfortable. My back absolutely kills me, but with these insoles, my back does not kill me at the end of a long day of work. Fulton is offering our listeners $10 off your next purchase at walkfulton.com by using the code POD10. That's POD10 for $10 off at walkfulton.com. That's WALKFULTON.com. Check out their website to see how Fulton can support you. It's Friday. It is 9 a.m. You know what that means. Ringside Rant is back at you this week. I have the honor of welcoming to the show the man, the myth, the legend, the man from the hills of West Virginia where the Wi-Fi sucks, but he doesn't. He is the one. He's the only. He is JD. He is Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you, RJ? It is great to be back on Ringside Rant with you again. And
take
super
two.
Excited. Take two. Yeah, well, and three, because I was on before, remember? On Slapdick Roundtable. So
exactly.
Yeah. Another visit, good. But I'm excited to hang out with you and review WrestleMania 12.
Yeah, I figured start off with a bang. It's near and dear to both our hearts, obviously, with you being a huge understatement, a ginormous Bret Hart fan. And WrestleMania 12 is always good to dive deep a little bit into it. So it's definitely good to have you here and looking forward to chatting about this. WrestleMania 12 was one of those pay-per-views, man. We're at that turning point, I think, in the company and in wrestling in general. We haven't seen the likes of the Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock that we've come to know later on, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart are pretty much the faces of the company. Undertaker is doing his own kind of thing. And the company's relying on guys like the Ultimate Warrior, Roddy Piper to come in here, really make a splash, get those pay-per-view buys. Because at this time, it had nothing to do with the network like it does now, where you actually had to physically go over to your cable or satellite provider and buy this pay-per-view, buy their WrestleMania. And this was Anaheim, I believe, right? This is Arrowhead Pond, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was, I spoke to someone that was at this pay-per-view. I think it was brand new at the time, the stadium was.
Yeah, because this was for the Ducks, for the hockey club.
Yeah.
And this was WrestleMania 12 was here, WrestleMania, 16, whatever, 2000 was there.
Yeah.
And that was one of the last big WrestleManias that I believe give or take a couple of years, but that were in arenas soon after this. Once we get down the road here, they're starting to go to football stadiums instead of the arenas. Do you really see them going back to arenas like this, like the Arrowhead Pond, like Rosemont Horizon or whatever it is now? I think it's United Center. But do you see them going back to that, or you pretty much just see them saying,
probably not for WrestleMania. I mean, they did the next year. They went to Rosemont, right, in Chicago in
for 13.
Yeah,
for 13.
Yeah. So yeah. Probably not for WrestleMania. Those are probably going to be relegated to more things like Royal Rumble or Survivor Series or something like that, I would say.
Well, hopefully they won't run into the issue like they did this year with the rain delays. I figured I was at a Reds or a Yankees game or something where they had to do a rain delay for about 2 hours and replaying all the past WrestleManias. But I would love to see him go back to these arenas just because you don't have to worry about rain delays, or you can go to places like here in New York.
Well, you still have power outages like they did at the
right, but you don't have but you can go to venues that you don't have to worry about the weather. You can obviously in March and April, especially as you know, in the Northeast, you have to worry about the weather not all pretty much up until June 1st, pretty much. But it would just be nice to go back to these venues that like a Madison Square Garden, something here in the Northeast, where you don't have to travel as far, that's indoors. Before we get into the opening contest, what were your overall thoughts, without getting too specific, as we'll get into it later, but about this WrestleMania 12, what were your overall thoughts on it?
Honestly, I remembered it better than it was going back and rewatching it. This wasn't really that good. The ending, the finish of the main event, I thought was done real well. I thought the last 15, 20 minutes of the main event was good.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole lot of meat on the bones for this WrestleMania. I mean, there was only six matches because you're going to have an hour-long match at the end anyway. So there's not a lot of matches. So not a lot of people got their WrestleMania checks this year. So I don't know if that led to any heat in the back. Like, well, damn it, Brett and Sean have to do an hour, so now I'm not going to get, you know, my WrestleMania check.
Right, right.
But I do know, I think I read that this WrestleMania did about the same buys as WrestleMania 11.
They're about.
So it wasn't a huge drop-off money-wise or anything. And this was kind of the last one before the Attitude Era. Like, you know, the 97, that's Steve and Brett and the finish of that. And that kind of kicks off the Attitude. And then, so this is kind of the last kind of old new generation era WrestleMania.
Yeah. So like you said, I couldn't have said it any better as far as not you remembering it better than it was. Obviously for all, you're not getting your 16 matches like we normally do or give or take nowadays, but this was the entrances, we'll get into it too, but just we're seeing a lot of the younger talent, like I mentioned, with The Rock, with Austin, with Triple H, Undertaker was still young at this time, and you're not seeing them going full go like we would in the next three years or so. Let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
We'll be waiting for you, Marshall, at the OK Corral. My darling Clementine, 1946. Oh, and I will be waiting, President Piper, at WrestleMania 12 on my Hollywood backlot, wearing bells. And if you're lucky, little else. The thrill of beating you titillates me. It sends goosebumps up and down my curvy spine. And oh yes, I will beat you, President Piper. Believe me, it will be the spanking like you have never had before. You remember the name of Goldust.
So Justin, this pay-per-view, this WrestleMania 12, like we mentioned, came to us from the Arrowhead Pond. The main event was the Iron Man match for Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. We saw Shawn Michaels win the Royal Rumble to get that shot at Bret Hart. This was something that the play up to this was unlike any other at this time. We saw the quote unquote Mr. WrestleMania, even though he has a losing record at WrestleMania, he got that moniker pretty much because of this match.
We saw him win. He got the trouble with the
this match and his ladder match
at 10, right?
Yeah.
But we saw him get in trouble with, you know, the whole incidents in Syracuse, getting beat up by the Marines, the whole getting the concussion from storyline wise from Owen Howard. He lost a smile, blah, 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 blah. We know the history leading up to this. This WrestleMania was pretty much the WrestleMania for Shawn Michaels. Am I right or am I wrong? What do you think?
It was his coming out party to the main event. He had been the main event. I think him and Brett main evented Survivor Series. I think it was when Brett was the world champion and Shawn was the Intercontinental champion, I think.
Right.
So, I mean, he had kind of bounced in and out of the main event here and there, but this solidified him as a main event guy for the rest of his career, this match pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we saw him getting a lot of matches with Owen, a lot of matches with Razor, Scott Hall. He split away his quote-unquote bodyguard, Diesel, betrayed him, quote-unquote, at a house show in Madison Square Garden. We saw the whole incidents with curtain call, all that crap. And yet we still look at this match as being like one of the best matches of all time. I'm not one of those guys. I know you're a Bret Hart fan. For what it's worth, I've never been a fan of Iron Man matches. I've always been saying, hey, let's give it the time limit. We don't need the title, quote unquote, the title on the match. It's for the title. That should be enough reasoning for you to watch this. You shouldn't have to have an Iron Man match. You can still do this, all this build with Jose Lothario, with Stu Hart, the shots of the dungeon, all that stuff. You still can do that, but you don't need to have it's good 60 minute Iron Man match. We don't need that crap.
I always loved that Brett was real bitter about the way they built that match too, because he's like, well, you know, they showed Shawn you know, jumping around and looking all athletic, and they showed me, you know, getting pinned by my dad.
Well, I'm sure that wasn't the only time, but I, when it push came to shove, whatever match Brett was in, whether it was his feud with his brother Owen, whether it was this match, whether it was Matt Undertaker, whether it was Diesel, whether it was Psycho Sid, excuse me, they always reverted back to the dungeon. That got old real quick for me. Not so much at the time when I was watching this, when I was younger, when I was, well, at this time I was 12 in 96. So looking back at it now, it got old real quick, because you watch any type of in-your-house pay-per-view, where you watch any WrestleMania in this next, in between 95 to 97, when Brett was still there and he was the main event, it seemed like every pay-per-view or every Raw or whatever, the build, oh, they go back to the dungeon. I couldn't tell you how many goddamn times I saw the damn thing. And I'm like, I don't care anymore.
JR always sold it too. He's wanted this since his days in the dungeon. You know, he always sold the dungeon. And even after Brett left, they were selling it. Remember Owen had a dungeon match with
and Shamrock.
With Shamrock or Dan Severn or somebody. Yeah.
No, Dan Severn was a referee.
Yeah.
And it was against Ken Shamrock. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I don't care. I'm not discrediting anything that the Hart family did for the business. I'm not saying that. It's just the fact that you have to go back to that every single time. And I know this time in the WWF, it was a hard time for everybody. Bret Hart, and I'll give Bret Hart credit. He was the face of this company. He was keeping this company afloat, because you had Shawn Michaels then, wasn't the Shawn Michaels now. And we'll give him the just due, because at this time, oh, he's losing his smile. He didn't want to do the job for this. He didn't want to do the job for that, where pretty much it was, I'd say, a three horse race as far as the main event goes, because you had Shawn, you had, Undertaker, and you had Brett, because Razor and Diesel, if you look at it now, knowing it, what happened later on, the writing was on the wall. They're on their way out. They're on their way south. And Triple H Triple H, Austin, Rock,
Gold Dust.
They're not as prevalent as they would be in the next year or two.
Yeah. And I would think I can make the argument that if you look at WWE, they really suffered, I think, through the summer of 96 and stuff without Brett. Because this is when after this match, he didn't come back till Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. And then him and Steve had a great match at Survivor Series. And then that starts to build to their WrestleMania 13. And that really starts to turn WWF's boat around, I think, that whole feud and going into the summer of 97. But the summer of 96 with Shawn as the champion, there's not much to remember. He had a match with Mankind, I think, and he didn't want to feud with Vader after a match. And I mean.
But you also take into account summer of 96, Bash at the Beach, 96. WCW. We all know now what happened then. Hogan turns heel, forms the NWO with Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
We know what happens. That basically turned the business upside down, where for constantly it was always WWF, WWF, WWF. Now, WCW, you had Luger over walking in on Nitro. You had the NWO form, and you had people jumping ship. Savage, Piper later on after, this match on 12. Later on, Brett jumps over. So you know a lot of people are seeing the writing on the wall starting to form a little bit here. People are trying to get into your house. People are honking at you. They want to know what JD's doing right now. I'm not going to undersell that beeping noise, but... You're starting to see, we'll get into it here, where we're starting to see Roberts, we're starting to see Yokozuna, Vader, in conditions, physically, mentally, whatever. And it's tough to watch, man. It really is, because you and I both grow up watching Jake Roberts, Jake the Snake, that is, really start to deteriorate, really starting to have those demons come out. And it's really tough. Yokozuna is another one where he's just out of shape. When he first came in, he was a force to reckon with. And at this point, they're starting to build, as you know, we discussed before, we're starting to see that Yokozuna Vader feud build. I always like Yokozuna as a heel, but at this time you have Vader in here. He needs somebody to dance with.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the whole point of this six-man match. It looked like you tried to focus it on Vader and Yoko as kind of Yoko now a new face and trying to turn Vader into your new kind of into the spot that Yoko had been in the last few years, kind of your big monster heel. So I felt like the match, this first six-man tag, was kind of based around, looked like starting a feud with Vader and Yoko, and then that one never really progressed, I think, because Yoko left pretty much right after this.
Yeah, because I think, like I said, we keep on saying this was at that time. I hate to keep on saying it, but the writing was on the wall for a lot of people here.
I can't remember. Yoko may have stayed a few more months after this.
March or April? Yeah. Spring. We'll say spring for better use of words. Spring of 96.
And I can't remember exactly when Yoko left, but I know he
came back at 13, though, didn't he? He tagged with, was it 13?
I think so. No, he was gone after this. I think this is in 96 was when they finally told him to, you know, get in shape. And I don't
think he ever did. And get out kind of thing or get out. Yeah. Well, not so much get out, but, you know, you got to get back. You got to get in better shape, dude.
But like those turkey tails with mayonnaise.
Dip him. That actually, believe it or not, when Bruce Pritchard was saying that, talking about that story on Something to Wrestle With, that actually doesn't sound too bad, to be honest with you.
I'm not doing mayonnaise on anything.
Oh, man. Oh, come on. Mayonnaise is everything.
I'm anti-mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise is fantastic. Fantastic. I even do what the hell? Thousand Island dressing and mayonnaise and relish, make my own tartar sauce, put that on fries.
Well, that is ridiculous.
Well, everybody says I'm part Canadian. Might as well start doing those, my own poutine or something, Polish poutine. There you go. You don't have to be Canadian like some people, but
we got fine.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
We have fine establishments here in West Virginia. We have a place here in Huntington called Hillbilly Hot Dogs. See? We got fine dining down here.
Let me guess. Instead of paper plates, they do it on plastic, right?
Probably just a napkin.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. What's a hillbilly hot dog?
It's actually been on diners, drive-ins, and dives. It's just really? it is redneck as heck, and it's like in a little shack and everything. But they have just all these different hot dogs. I guess I've never been there, but from what I've read.
Now I know we're getting the weeds because you brought up food, so I knew I was going to get in the weeds on this, but I'm thrilled that we are. But there was a place where I grew up outside of Buffalo. It's called, and I think it's still there. It's Louis Texas Red Hots. It's a hot dog place. And we used to call me and my buddy, we in college when I was drinking, and we go out downtown Buffalo drinking till we can't feel feelings. And we go to Louis for hot dogs. You buy five, you get the six free. And they come in those big ass donut boxes.
Yeah.
And with a little rubber band, whatever around them. So at that time I was dating my wife.
It was your own Crave case for hot dogs.
Bingo. And we were dating I was dating my wife. She'd come out with us and whatnot. And we go, she'd have one, I'd have five to soak up all the booze. Well, what we'd call them shit canoes.
Oh no.
So you had the hot dog. We put chili, onions, relish, ketchup, mustard, cheese, whatever.
Oh,
because after you eat them, you shit a canoe.
I would say.
And so, yeah, this isn't going to be your normal podcast, folks, today. So
it sounds like it sounds like the ending of your date with your wife went very romantically with you on the shitter for about half an hour.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing when you're sitting on the John and you put the garbage can in front of you because you don't know which end it's coming out of. So there is. So hopefully anybody that's listening to this isn't having lunch or breakfast or dinner. So
are we supposed to talk about WrestleMania 12? Is that what we're here for?
Yeah, we're WrestleMania 12. So wrestling. But we'll get back into it here. But with that food, whatever, we're going to talk the Bacall Brawl now. And how'd you like that transition? Goldust. Excuse me. Roddy Piper, this, I thought, could have been a lot better if they kept it at the facility. And don't make it the quote-unquote cinematic match like we see now. They want to make fun of the OJ chase, the white Bronco, whatever. They're interrupting the Austin Vega match to do on commentary. Just, call-ins from Roddy call-ins, quote unquote. You can't see it because it's an audio podcast, but it's just stupid. It's stupid. There's no other words that can describe it, because it was just you're taking away from this Austin and Vega match, which was pretty good. They always worked well together. To basically, shit on this match that, quite frankly, could have been a lot better. Like I said, if they kept it at the facility and made it a actual backlot brawl instead of Piper chasing after Goldust.
Yeah, I don't like the whole thing. I don't like the build up to the match and all the homophobic comments that kind of Piper made, and I don't know. The whole thing was kind of dumb. I know that Scott Hall was supposed to be in this spot. I think he refused to work with Goldust's character. So then, they throw money at Piper.
Right.
It seems like they're just reaching in this pay-per-view because they got Warrior and Piper both coming back. And this is during the time when they're making fun of WCW.
Right.
For having, the Huckster and the Nacho Man, which, by the way, my friend that went to this pay-per-view, that was what he was excited to see, literally, was the Huckster Nacho Man match. And then I think they played a video they didn't have it like in the ring, so he was mad.
Right.
But you're reaching, you're bringing back old stars while you're calling the other people old, and it just didn't work. The Ultimate Warrior thing was a flop. The Piper thing, I love Piper, but Piper is great when he hadn't been there for a long time. And then all of a sudden his music just hits at WrestleMania and he comes out. And this was during a time when he had already been back. He was the commissioner or whatever. So people were used to seeing him on TV every week. So it just,
Well, see, the thing that could have made this better, because these are two great talents, Dustin Rhodes, Roddy Piper, they're great workers, probably two of the best of all time. Whether you like them or not, you have to admit that they're two of the best. They could have made this a lot better by having the whole Piper thing be a surprise. Build this up like Goldust is like, there's nobody out here. At this point, you know, nobody wants to work with me. Who in the back wants to work with me? Kind of thing. And but you can still make it some sort of a brawl and have him say, oh, I don't even care what kind of match it is. This could be a brawl. This could be a street fight. I don't care. I'll take it to the parking lot. I don't care.
One interesting part is that Piper did hit Goldust so hard in the fight when it was getting filmed or whatever that he did break his hand in that match.
Right. Yeah, I remember doing the research and seeing it, but I just think this could have been done so many different ways that it could have made it a lot better. And I don't know why they didn't. Obviously, at this time, throw it against the wall. If it sticks, great. If it doesn't, then so be it. Because at this time, the whole curtain call hasn't happened yet. The formation of the NWO hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in the next couple months. And you guys are basically scratching to keep the promotion afloat. Figure it out. Come on, man. You know, and obviously we saw Scott Hall didn't want to work with him for that reason. And it was just hindsight being what it is nowadays. I didn't like it. I agree with you on that. I get why they did it. I didn't like it personally. I get why they get it. And that's two different aspects of it. I'm not giving it credit, but I'm not saying I get why.
It was supposed to give us Gaga. And for me, it was just blah, blah. It was just, I didn't like it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Next was Austin and Vega. They got interrupted twice from Piper, as you said, in this thing.
Right, right.
I actually liked the match.
The Piper Austin match, you mean? Or excuse me, the Austin Vega match?
Austin Vega, yeah. I didn't mind it. I did think the ending was just one of those tired old endings where Tim White takes a bump and he's out. And then Ted DiBiase gives Austin the $1 million belt. Austin hits Vega, you know, and all that. So it's just kind of an old stale finish to it. But I didn't hate the match at all.
Well, but this pay-per-view, this WrestleMania, what I noticed, one of the things I noticed, I should say, is a lot of these matches, the Austin and Vega, the Piper and Goldust, the opening contest as far as a six-man goes, a lot of people getting put over by the veterans, i.e. Goldust, or i.e. Piper or Vega putting Austin over. A lot of the, you know, Vader's getting put over by Yoko on his way out. Roberts is trying to put people over.
You had Owen and Owen especially bumping around for Ahmed Johnson, you know, trying. You put
exactly.
Ahmed.
There's another one. Yeah.
You put Ahmed in a match like that six-man tag because, you know, he's probably still green, not ready. So you put him in a six-man and then you have him working with Owen in the ring where it makes it easier on him.
Well, and that too, I think they're just trying to get people, the headliners, we'll call them, on the card because you know you have the hour-long match, at least an hour. Mm-hmm. Obviously, now knowing it, it's going over, I think it was like 23 minutes over past an hour, give or take, when they're going to overtime. Mm-hmm. So you know they're at least going an hour in the main event.
Well, the match supposedly an hour, unless we were doing Bruce time, which you never know, but they had the entrances and then the overtime. So that's probably where the 23 minutes came in.
Right. So you're trying to figure this out. You're getting guys getting put over because 96, spring of 96, like we said, a lot of these guys aren't proven yet. These guys aren't made guys yet. champion, Austin, Triple H, Rock. I think Shamrock wasn't here yet. So, and so you didn't have those veterans. You had those veterans trying to get these guys over. And I was always been a fan of the Austin Vega few that they had, the strap matches that they do, they had to do twice. So, and Austin credits Vega with getting him into ring shape. So that has to go to amount to something that the Austin Vega match was a lot better, obviously, than this opening contest that we had the six man, but
and a lot better than the next one.
Well, that too, but we'll get into that. So we're going to send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino to introduce our next segment.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
On the banks of the Rhine River in Germany, Bret Hart now will reflect upon his WrestleMania match, other potential wrestling opportunities, and his future here in the WWF.
You know, there's a lot of things that were wrong about that match. The match itself was it wasn't beneficial to me. But that's fine. I accepted that, and I still accept that. The fact that if it was going to be an hour, 60-minute, that's what I hear, 60-minute Ironman match. It wasn't a 60-minute Ironman match. It was a 62-minute Ironman match. And if there was going to be overtime or sudden death or anything of that nature, why did they ring the bell in the first place? They should have just, here, it's like I wait, and I promise myself that I'm going to wait till this guy makes his one big mistake. And he does. He makes it at the 59-minute mark. He gets careless, just like I know this guy. He's going to get careless, and he makes that mistake. And then it's almost like they have the nerve to come up after I've beaten him. You know, he didn't give up, but don't tell me. No one can convince me that he wasn't history. He was done. He was finished. In the middle of the ring, there was no ropes. There was no one in the world that could save him. There wasn't any way he was going to kick out or kick me in the face or anything. He was a beaten man. He knows it. And I know it. And they rang the bell. And it's not my job to beat Shawn Michaels. I said that from the very, very beginning. It's my job to keep the title. It's his job to beat me. And he never did in the 60-minute Ironman match. I walked out of that ring. I should have kept on going back to the dressing room. And, you know, that little delay there of about 2 or 3 minutes of getting the match restarted and kind of getting my blood boiling. And that's where I made my big mistake.
All right. Thanks for that, Rich. It is now time for Rants and Raves, your first Rants and Raves of the Ringside Rant, JD. So we mentioned Piper's putting over Goldust, another veteran coming back. We saw a veteran come back here with the Ultimate Warrior taking on Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H. This was before he became the game, before he came actually the three letters Triple H. He came out with Sable. Do you really think that he really, at this time, do you think he needed Sable? Or do you think he pretty much was over as that dastardly heel that he was?
I liked it because it gave him like that Randy Elizabeth kind of thing where, you know, you hated him even more because he treated this nice looking young lady terribly.
Right.
So it was just a way to add a flavor, a layer of heat, I think, to Triple H there. And obviously then it goes into him and Mero's feud later on in 96, where she flips to mark her husband.
Yeah, right, right. So in this match between the Ultimate Warrior coming back and Triple H, it went about a minute and 20 seconds, basically a squash match that, quite frankly, it made no sense. You saw him kick out, basically take the pedigree, stand back right up. It's like, what the fuck, guys? Yeah. Are you kidding me? And obviously watching it that time and watching it now is two totally different aspects on it. It's like, you're trying to get this kid over. This ain't one of the ways you do it, man. I know you're pretty much paying off Warrior to come in, probably a pretty penny to come in. And he didn't even get Triple H over. If anything, it hurt him.
Yeah, because he knew sold the pedigree. If you're gonna come in, if you're gonna come in and make the Warrior look strong, just have him go in there and beat him real quick. You don't have to ruin his finish because of it. I don't even think it made sense because if the Warrior is supposed to be so big and strong, why does he let Triple H put him in the pedigree to begin with? So I don't know. The whole thing was kind of dumb. I hated it. I hate most all Warrior matches, unless Rick Rude is working his ass off to make it look good.
Oh, the IC match, yeah.
But for the most part, Warrior. I listen, like Conrad, as a kid when he was the champion. I was 6 years old. I was a huge little Warrior fan.
But, so was I. Yeah, I get it.
You get older and you're like, and this is about the time when I started to go, yeah.
But it was a whole controversy too with him coming back and he's not as big anymore. He cut his hair. Rumor and innuendo around the internet at this time was it was not the same Warrior. It was a different Warrior. It was his cousin. The real Ultimate Warrior died.
Yeah. And WWE would be like, guys, we would never give you a fake character that's just like the other one, but is not that real person. Oh, wait a minute. Hold our beer here in a couple months. Yeah, fake Diesel and fake Razor.
Yeah, but the thing is, something good did come out of that. We got Kane out of it. So something good came out of that crap. I would have thought that I wish they would have just nixed this. Obviously, we got the Mark Marrow and Triple H feud after this. We saw Triple H going back after losing to him, bumping into Marrow with Todd Pettengill back there. And I like the way they got him into the company with this. But after this, it's like they didn't know what the left didn't know what the right was doing with this guy, being Mark Marrow, coming off of being Johnny B. Badd from WCW. Which I'd almost prefer Johnny B. Badd over Mark Marrow in WWF because they didn't do anything with him.
I just think you're going to make him that wild man character, which they try to do. I think it would have been cooler if he would have came in as a heel because people hate that. People didn't like that character anyways. It didn't get over in WWE. Yeah. So if they're going to hate it, make him a heel where they'll hate it extra, even more. So I don't know, but.
Well, what they should have done is get Sable away from Triple H at this point. Here's the thing. Don't bring Warrior back. We'll play kind of revisionist booking here. Don't bring Warrior back at this time. Keep him off. Bring him back later down the road. Not now. Have Marrow be a mystery opponent for Triple H. Have him kind of steal Sable away from Triple H. Make that part of it.
But Vince is wanting to sell pay-per-view, so what's going to make you want to buy it more?
I know. I get that. I get that. But it's just, like you said, six-year-old me, six-year-old Justin loved the Ultimate Warrior. 12-year-old, shit. 12-year-old me like the Ultimate Warrior. And they watch it back now. It's like, ugh. Did they really do that?
I remember being excited about him coming back, but I also remember him being back for just a little while and me being like, it's just not the same. There's not the same energy, that there used to be. Not from Warrior itself, just like from the connection to the fans and stuff. That even started to wear off in like 92 when he came back the first time.
Yeah. I thought that Mark Marrow had a lot to offer, but I think that they basically screwed the pooch with his character, with his storylines. And we keep saying it time and time again during this episode is what the hell do you have to lose? Throw it against the wall. See if it sticks. If it doesn't, great. You got nothing to lose. You already have him signed. Throw him against, we saw him go against Goldust, go against Christ. At this time, we're bringing in Jeff Jarrett, that is. That could have been a hell of a match, but nothing. And we're all left to the imagination trying to figure out what the hell happened with this Mark Merrill thing, because obviously, hindsight being and now looking back on it, it's like, okay, fine, I get it now. But it's like, really, I get you want to get the pay-per-view buys, you want to get the sellout, whatever, and bring the Warrior back. Great. Don't do it against Triple H when you're trying to get this guy over. You're trying to get Mark Marrow over. Obviously, it's long-term booking with Marrow and Triple H. I get that, but you're telling me that your writers in the back can't figure that out? Try to figure something else out instead of bringing back Warrior?
I'll say this. Don't feel too bad for Triple H, because I'm sure for that 2-minute match, he got paid very well.
Oh, so
it's a good 2 minutes of work. Right?
But I don't doubt that. But like you said, the curtain call hasn't happened here with Triple H yet. So he hasn't been basically screwed yet out of the King of the Ring, where Austin would win it later. And, you know, it's Austin would basically go up, skyrocket to the main event, where Triple H would kind of linger there in the mid card to opening kind of curtain jerker matches.
He's Sean's bitch.
Basically. And you didn't have to worry about that here. You still could try to get him over, and then you could screw him later on after he screwed you, pretty much. But I just didn't get it. Looking at it now, Warrior was good for one thing. It was selling merchandise.
I'll say this. I'm never going to bitch about Triple H getting squashed in a match. So I'm just fine with it.
Of course you are. But we touched on this too. Our friend of the show, Brandy Wagner, threw us a question that we'll answer it now, because it's going to be pretty much answered in our wording of this topic. But this Iron Man match, to me, was just overrated. I know a lot of people think it's overrated. It shouldn't have been an Iron Man match in my eyes. You put the 60-minute time stamp on it. Great. If not, it's a draw. You continue it to the next pay-per-view. I think that would have been better without the overtime. It would have been even better, because then you get people coming back the next month or the next pay-per-view, whatever.
Well,
because at this time you didn't have monthly pay-per-views.
I had heard that Dave Meltzer had written around this time that it was supposed to be at SummerSlam, Bret and Shawn in the rematch and potentially in a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bruce calls bullshit on that and said that that was never an idea or thought, but mm-hmm. That could have been cool, these two in a ladder match, because, you know, Brett always says, you know, Sean stole the idea of the ladder match was the thing I did in Calgary. You know, and he always says that Sean stole it from him. So if he's the, you know, one of the originators of it, him and Sean, you know, we know how good Sean was with it.
With against Razor, yeah.
It could have been an amazing match, those two in a ladder match.
Well, but they could have done that here, like you said, and then you could still have a smash finish. Like you did at 12 with going in overtime and still continue it, put him in cage, because now you get a cage match pretty much every pay-per-view or every Raw, SmackDown, whatever. Not at this time. In 96, it was very uncommon to get a cage match all the time. Mm-hmm. Put him in and I think at this time they're still using Big Blue.
Yeah.
So put him in Big Blue after this match, get that smallest finish.
Let Sean jump off the top of Big Blue and elbow Brett.
Exactly. Do something, because you don't need to have an Iron Man. Nobody has the patience, especially now, and even more so in 96, to sit through an hour-long match, because if this was NWA, WCW 96, and it was Steamboat and Flair and Dusty, Flair and Harley, whatever, the 60-minute draw could have worked.
I'd say my general rule for matches, if you can go out and mow the yard and come back and the damn thing's still going on, the match is too damn long.
I'm assuming that's what you did.
No, you could have. I could have mowed mine and my neighbor's yard real quick. Come back.
Yeah, but have your yard's a damn pool. You don't have to worry about the freaking yard for that. I wish that was my case. Walking to Louise again with this, but it's crossed my mind so much just to put fucking turf in, man. Then you don't have to do anything. It's going to cost you a shit ton of money. But at this point, I live 2 miles from Lake Ontario. It's sand underneath there, so it's not going to make any difference. But this time we had so many different high spots in this match, being in the Iron Man match with, you know, you mentioned Brett doing a tope suicida, which you never saw.
No, that was pretty cool. He come running through the middle of the ropes and hit Sean, and then Sean took a great bump over the turnbuckle where, you know, Brett flipped him over the turnbuckle, and Sean went way over the turnbuckle and came down on the floor there pretty hard. So, yeah.
But we could, you could have done that, and you don't have to have an Iron Man match. Christ, yeah. You don't even have to have any stipulation of a match. These two guys are two of the best of all time. You don't need to have that label on this match to get it over, to get these two guys over. They're fighting for the title regardless.
Yeah, I think
you could still have Sean win, and next month you could still do the ladder match or a cage match or whatever.
I think it's, first of all, it's Pat's idea, and what Pat says goes, damn it.
Well, I get that, but you still could have Pat, you could have still have the wisdom of Pat Patterson in this match. You still could do that.
And I think
not have an Iron Man match.
I think the reason why they did it is because, like we talked about earlier, Vince is trying to showcase his athletes, his young athletes, whereas, you know, WCW has Flair and Hogan or Macho Man or whatever. And he wanted to showcase his young two best athletes and show it off in an hour long, you know, contest. So I get the idea and why they wanted to do it. But now looking back, especially for us nostalgia fans, going back and watching a pay-per-view, and you get to that match and you're like, holy shit, I'm going to have to fast forward, you know. And really, yeah. If you watch that match, the last 25 minutes is all you need, you know.
No, I get that. And it's just, and then because you didn't know that it was still going to go into overtime after this, you figure, okay, this is going to be it. Brett's going to retain. We're going to get the smash finish. We're going to see this again next month. Great. That's what they should have done. Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit about going to overtime? And I get it. Pat Patterson's brainchild. I get it. Great. Fine. I get it. I love it. He was a great mind in the business, but you didn't have to do it.
When you see Sean coming down in that entrance and coming down from the top, right then you know he's winning. Why do that? Why do all that for someone that's not going to go over, right?
Exactly. But you still, it just blows my mind. You still didn't need that overtime. You still didn't need it.
And that's another way, and I can understand why Brett's a little bit bitter in this. Like we talked about in the way they built Sean and showcased him, and then the package that they did with Brett of him like jogging very delicately on the ice and snow. And but then also the entrances, Sean's entrance compared to Brett just walking out normal like usual. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing was to showcase Sean. He's our new guy. This is who we're going with.
And I, like you said, and that was plainly obvious. It's like, oh, I don't need it. It was like the whole Rocky versus Apollo Creed thing, or Rocky versus the Russians or whatever. But I'm like, I was waiting for him to like start punching a rack of ribs or something, or hanging up in a slaughterhouse or something. And I just didn't. This match, going back and watching it, I didn't get it. I didn't like it. And I'm not discrediting the work that they put in. I'm not doing that by any means, but it's just like, do we really, really need it?
The one thing I will give Pat, and Brett probably came up with this together, but I did like the ending. Once we got to overtime, first of all, the ending of the match was Sean, who's going to be our new babyface champion, you know, not giving up and surviving the sharpshooter for as long as he did. That's giving more babyface heat on to Sean. Now, when Brett, you know, just thinks, oh, I'm done, I'm leaving after the match, you know, he just basically grabbed his belt and started leaving. And then he has to come back. And now he starts playing the heel more and acting a little more heelish, you know, yelling at the guy to ring the bell and then immediately attacking Sean. And then Brett takes a perfect, sells the Sweet Chin Music perfectly, I felt like. And then, you know, good finish to it. Then you have the ending where Sean tells Earl, tell him to get the fuck out of the ring.
But that's the thing. It's, I thought, I like the whole, with Brett becoming a heel, better, because you needed that in this company. You didn't need another baby face because it was just, this company was littered with them.
Well, and if you think about it, Brett over the years had worked with all the heels. Being a heel gave him a whole new set of guys that he could work with, because he never got to work a ton with, you know, baby faces.
Mm-hmm. But we even saw before this match, we saw the Undertaker Diesel match. And I can't help but think that this match, it wasn't good.
No.
And it pains me to say it because I love Undertaker and Kevin Nash, but it got overshadowed and it shouldn't have been.
I felt like the Undertaker worked really hard in the match and tried to make it a good match. I thought Undertaker, you know, this is what he always just brought it around this time, you know, and this was his prime years, and thought he had his working boots on and worked pretty well in the match. It was just kind of a boring match. And then I thought the finish, it was just like Undertaker just scooped him up out of nowhere and pile drove him. And that was it. The end of the match, it was like, that just came out of nowhere.
Well, but you can even look at it, because next year, this next WrestleMania was, I believe it was Sid and Diesel, right?
No, Sid and Undertaker for the title. Undertaker won the title.
When was Sid and Diesel? Wasn't that around this time as well? Wasn't that like SummerSlam or Survivor Series or something?
See, he was, I don't know. I do remember that, but I can't remember if that was before. Yeah. It may have been before this, I think.
It had to be because
Sid got there in 95, came back in 95.
Right. But it was just, like you said, it was so anticlimactic with the ending where it came out of nowhere. And it just didn't tell a story. For me, when you see two behemoths like the Undertaker and Diesel, Undertaker and insert Psycho Sid in this, insert Kane later on. When you get two big dudes, you got to be able to tell a story, man, because you're not going to have moves like Shawn Michaels or Owen.
That's what made the Undertaker Kane thing so good, was there was a great story behind the Undertaker Kane thing.
Exactly. And that goes throughout whatever feud that they were doing, whether it was when he buried him alive or he came back at 20 or he debuted or whatever. It told a story.
Undertaker Mankind.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I just wish, looking back at it now, you gave all the popularity to Shawn and Mankind, Brett, when facing the Undertaker. I just wish they would have done a little bit more with Diesel. They did the whole thing with the fake Diesel being in the casket with the Undertaker. That was good, but it didn't go anywhere. They didn't tell, it was short term. They didn't do long term like they did with Shawn and Mankind and obviously with Kane, but maybe it's just me trying to compare apples to oranges, not comparing apples to apples. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's how I am. That's where I lie anyways.
Yeah, no, I agree. It kind of lacked some, I mean, they did the mind games thing where Undertaker yanked Diesel underneath the ring and stuff at the end of the last In Your House, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had some stuff, they had something to it, but it just, the match was just almost plotting, I guess would be a way to describe it.
Mm. But do you think it would have been better if, we'll say, Diesel won the Royal Rumble or Undertaker did, and face Brett here at WrestleMania, and then have kind of flip-flop, have Shawn go against like Undertaker and Diesel go against Brett or something.
No,
do you think they should
have
done it that way?
I don't, because at this point you had already seen Brett Diesel, Brett Undertaker a lot. So, and you really hadn't seen Brett and Shawn since that Intercontinental versus Heavyweight Championship match at Survivor Series in 93. So you hadn't really seen a lot of that since around that time.
This will be the last comment and then we'll go over to our listener questions, but what was your overall thought watching this back now after the fact, that you did obviously before watching it live, overall thoughts on this pay-per-view? Do you think, obviously there could have been work done, obviously, but what would you have done to make it a little bit better?
First of all, I think it's weird that on this WrestleMania, I was talking with someone this morning and we were thinking about it. I think this is the first one maybe without an Intercontinental Championship match in it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see one.
Yeah, I think it's the first WrestleMania without one, if I could be wrong. But and then there was also no tag team championship match in it. So the only stakes really were Shawn and Brett for the title. There wasn't a lot of stakes in this thing. So I would have probably tried to add more stakes into some matches.
But that's where you, if you get rid of that Iron Man match and we'll make it a different type of match, you still can go half hour. Maybe that's where you bring in the tag traps or you bring in the IC championship or whatever. Because I think at this time, was this 96? Who had the IC at this time?
Goldust was about to have it, I think.
Yeah. Was it Rock maybe? Owen didn't have it.
Wasn't the Rock yet, I don't think.
But regardless, I just it just could have been a hell of a lot better. You take the to get rid of that Iron Man match, you add these guys into it, and I don't maybe that could have been a little bit better. But regardless, it is what it is at this point. It's going to bug the hell out of me that who was Intercontinental Champion at this time, because it's going to bug the crap out of me.
Oh, me too. I'm already looking. It would have been Goldust won it at the Royal Rumble, but it was vacated on April 1st, 1996. And then Goldust won it back. So the answer is Goldust.
But it was vacated at this time though.
Okay.
Yeah. So do something with that. Know what you could have done is made it made that backlot brawl for the IC title. Cause if you're going to give it the Goldust anyways, why
Piper,
not?
Why Piper another run with it?
Exactly. Bingo. Cause obviously hindsight being now, we knew he's going to make a run with, at WCW. Mm-hmm. He's still in decent shape. He's not too terribly out of shape. Give him another run with it.
Just the replaced hip is all.
Well, that's why it's replaced. You don't have to worry about it then. And you get a wicked looking scar.
There you go.
Let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
The following contest is scheduled for 10 minutes and revolves around you. It's listener questions.
All right. So we got a couple of listeners questions this week, Justin. I almost called you Dave for a second there. I stopped myself, but I'm doing good now.
That's my middle name. David is my middle name. It's all right.
I'll just call you Hey You. I'll call you JD or something. We'll get over it. But our first listener question comes from Michael McClanahan, a good friend of the show. He asks, do you like the concept and the storytelling of the Iron Man match, or would you have, or would it have had a better book it into if it was a singles match with a 60-minute time limit, which I'm pretty sure we already established that, but what you think it should have just been a straight singles match, or do you think there was some sort of time limit to it?
I don't know. I mean, looking back at it, it didn't turn out as well as they'd hoped, but at the time, if it was me, I probably would have, they did. Mm-hmm. Just because an Iron Man match was very rare to them. They've never done it. You want to do something different. You know, so I understand that aspect of it. And you had the two horses that could do it in these two. So I get the process of thinking this up and why they did that. Making a regular just match with that. It would have been a better match. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it does as much for the story, though.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would have been better? Get other guys on the card. Do you think it could have been, should have been, like I said, just straight up for the title and then just doing like maybe like a 25 minute match, half hour match, made it better? Still get you. And they still could get their shit in.
Right. And goddamn, everyone's got to get their shit in, pal.
He's so vascular. But I just, to answer your question, Mike, I just think it would have been a hell of a lot better without, like we said before, without that 60 minute, because I think it hurt it more than it helped it, because you knew that Shawn and Brett could go. You knew they could go. Why are you going to try to put some sort of label on it and make it more than it actually is? But whatever, is what it is. So thanks for that question, Michael. Our next question comes from James Quello. He said, do you think WrestleMania 12 would have been more successful if they had just had the backlot brawl and the Iron Man match and nothing else? Which, after I read this, one, I thought it was a rib. And then two, I'm like, it makes sense. I wouldn't have mind that, because if you look at the other matches, we didn't really think outside of the Vega and Austin match. We really didn't think any of the matches were actually decent enough to actually be on the card.
No, I mean, honestly, I could do without all six matches, but you know, it is what it is. No, you can't just go two matches. First of all, I didn't like the Piper gimmick, that whole backlot brawl thing. I hated that.
Right.
Even worse than the hour-long Broadway at the end. So if you're going to just go those two things, hell no, throw it in the trash. Which maybe this whole pay-per-view should have been thrown in the trash. We really started off with a bang together here, didn't we, RJ? WrestleMania 12.
Exactly. But the thing is, with the whole nostalgic, that's what I wanted to aim with a lot of these things we're going to cover, whether they're going to be wrestlers, whether they're going to be events, whether they're going to be titles, whatever are going to be involving professional wrestling, get that nostalgic feeling. Because looking at it as 36, 37 year old guys now, this shit was terrible sometimes, most of the time at this time in 96. We didn't start seeing it until, like we said previous, until we started to see the curtain call happening, until we saw these guys jump ship the WCW, until we saw the formation of the NWO.
Well, 96 is the 25-year. This is 2021 is the 25-year anniversary of 1996, correct? Unless I'm doing your math
right.
Wrong.
No, I think your math is good.
So if we're going to do some 96 stuff, we should really probably flip over to TNT instead of doing WWE stuff.
Well, but at this time, until we get to the summer of 96, they're pretty much in the WCW, that is, they're pretty much in the same boat as WWF was. They're just trying, they don't have anything to rub against each other to make it work. They're throwing it against the wall just like anybody else. ECW is not even they had decent shit in 95, but 96, 97, they weren't doing anything. Smoky Mountain wasn't doing anything. Any of these promotions, they weren't doing anything. Shit was folding because they couldn't afford to stay open.
Yeah.
And
hey, don't you say people weren't doing anything. Herb Abrams was getting,
oh, fuck him,
lathered up and doing some cocaine. So there's Jesus. People doing stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You had to bring him up. You had to. The fucking UWI. You got to be kidding me. You're killing me, Smalls. But yeah, it wasn't. It just wasn't that time. These two matches, if anything, those two matches should have been on, but they should have at least had three and throw in that Vega and Austin match and make it at least worth your while.
Yeah, I guess if you really think about it, what was going on over on the other channel? Hogan was throwing the Giant off the top of a stadium.
Right. And I'm like, okay, really? Come
and
on.
Then the giant came back like
the next night. The next night without anything wrong with him. It's like, what the shit?
Night later in the show, he was back on the show.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He was main eventing or something. But it was like when Rey Mysterio died, when he was thrown off the building. And it was that money in the bank. And he lost an eye. And miraculously, it came back. He grew back. It's like a, he's like a lizard or something. He grows back another limb or something. But man, when we get into the weeds, man, we really get in the fucking weeds. This event just didn't do it for me. Watching it back, man, maybe just us and trying to revise it and rebook it or something. But I just,
overall grade for me would be a D. Minus.
I would have given him a D plus just to give him a plus. We'll give him a D. I'll take the D and save the plus for a rainy day. But yeah, this just, it just didn't do it. It just sucked, man. Until you really got until 97, next year at 13, then that's when it really started to rev up for me.
Yeah.
And then that's when the business was turned upside down. Like we said, with the whole NWO formation, WCW basically taken over the business at in a matter of 2-3 months.
And then Steve Austin taking it back over.
No, exactly. And that's what got that WWF back into business more was Austin, because everybody, he had that feud with
Brett.
With Brett and McMahon and Rock. That's what that trilogy of matches, those are, and I'm sure we'll get into it later into a different shows, but that's when wrestling was cool again. And this time frame, when you say, oh yeah, I'm a wrestling fan, people looked at you cockeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Austin came around, the NWO formed again, or formed. Then everybody's walking around with NWO shirts and Austin shirts, and everybody was cool again.
And ho ho ho! Not everyone. Some junior high slapdicks were walking around with Hart Foundation shirts on, while all my buddies were walking around with Austin 316 shirts.
Yeah, now all those guys are living in West Virginia on top of a mountain somewhere. But no, seriously though, I it could have been a lot better, and hopefully you did it justice on this week's episode. You can make sure to go over and subscribe wherever you're hearing this. If you're not already, tell your friends, subscribe to the Ringside Rant wherever you get your great podcasts, as well as on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. Fullpresscoverage.com plays every day as well. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at @_ringside_rant. You can follow over at the great merchandise store we have over at ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Our thoughts go out to Josiah. Just lost his father, just had his funeral this weekend. It's a bad way to go out. So our thoughts are out with you, Josiah, and the entire family. JD, how can people get a hold of you if they want to follow you?
Here in West Virginia, there's a town rotary phone that we all use. So you got,
The sad part is, though, I don't know if you're kidding or if you're serious.
You can find me at JD2040 at the Twitter machine.
Yay. There. Yeah, no, see, so go over, give him a follow. He always, you got to overlook all the Brett shit he talks about. No, I'm serious. I'm kidding, obviously. But no, seriously, go give him a follow. His handle will be in the description of this episode, as well as all the descriptions we just mentioned, the merchandise, ever, all that good stuff. So it's easier. You can just click on it when you're on your phone or whatever and just go over and follow. JD, I really appreciate you hopping on here to the Ringside Rant. You're on that short list of contenders. Your contender. To come here on the Ringside Rant and join the show. Hopefully you had fun and looking forward to talking shop with you a little bit more going forward.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Good to be back here on Ringside Rant. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you here in the future and doing some more shows and talking wrestling, which we all, if you're listening to this show, you probably like talking wrestling.
I hope so. Anyways, if not, then what the hell are you doing here? I'm joking.
I think just because of your beautiful face, a lot of people come to this show.
Yeah, right. Good thing it's an audio podcast then. But with that being said, thank you for tuning in this week. Tune in next week to the Ringside Rant. And as always, thank you for joining us right here in Ranters Nation.